All right. This is the Back to Birding Podcast with your host, Patrick Higgins.
And Luke Thompson.
So
we weren't supposed to have a reunion, by the way. I'm supposed to be in Panama right now. We're in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
This is kind of an impromptu recording session because Luke has found himself back in the United States, unfortunately.
about 2 months prior to when I was expecting.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a funny story. I don't know if it's funny yet, but one day.
As it was happening, I was laughing.
Okay, so that's good. He's coping well, so I think it's all fine. But I don't really know the details quite yet, so let's just off the bat jump into it. Luke, why are you in the United States right now?
All right. So, I was in Panama on Friday. It's Sunday right now, and I had woken up, my alarm was set for 4:30, so I was going to do an 18-mile day.
Whoa.
To get to the peak of the highest mountain in the area.
Okay.
And I was walking from the house. I wasn't getting driven to the trailhead, so I had 5 miles there, 5 miles back on just roads, by the way. So.
Okay, so then it was like, what, 23 mile?
No. The 18 included that.
Okay.
Well, but I actually may have been closer to 20 or 25. I don't know. Anyways, that didn't happen because I woke up at 4:30 and something flew over my head.
Right. And not outside of the window.
No, I was inside sleeping and something flew over my head. And I was like, huh. It's weird. A cricket got in here. I could tell it was probably like in the 6-inch size range.
So locust type cricket.
Like there's crickets that are this big there. Jeez. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Or I had a katydid that was close to that size that was hanging out in my room earlier. I was like, huh, how did that get in? I was really careful to not have lights on and the door was open at night.
The door's open all night?
Or no, at night for part of it. Or like before I went to bed, the door was open.
Gotcha.
Because I had it left open during the day because We always had the doors left open at the place during the day because just airflow.
Huh.
I turned my light on. I'm like mentally preparing myself for the day too. Like,
yeah.
I'm like groggy, like, oh God, I'm going to hate myself. Yeah. And
big day ahead.
I pull myself out of bed, turn the light on. It's a bat that's flying around my room. I see this just streak of like brown. Yeah. And flapping. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm screw it. I'm going to curse. We're going to bleep it out. I was like, oh, I think I probably said that out loud because what I had been told is if there's ever a bat in your room, you need rabies treatment.
I guess it was a surprise to me. It might not be a surprise to other world travelers who are experienced with this, but, even if there's one around you for an extended period of time, the assumption is that it could have bitten you and that it may have had rabies. So that's kind of where the fear is from, not just the fact that there was a bat in the room.
Yeah, and I also looked it up. Apparently I could be wrong on this, but apparently there are vampire bats in Panama and bats. And I think specifically vampire bats may be the reason, are the number one transmitter of rabies in Latin America.
Hmm.
So it was like, And through the day, I was like deciding, do I just stay here?
Yeah.
Well, originally I was just going to get the shots in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a long time researching it. My mom spent 10 hours on the phone.
Oh my gosh.
And they don't have the shots in Panama. They have the vaccine, but they don't have something called human rabies immunoglobulin, which is basically the first thing that you want.
Okay.
And it's not part of the protocol in Panama. And so I was trying to figure it out. I went to a little health clinic and talked to them. And that was a whole experience because it was really eye-opening how lucky we are here in the States with our stuff, because that health clinic the building was not doing great. Everything was, it was a very different experience. And then it turns out they don't have the...
So they actually have a treatment for rabies, but it's not like up to standards?
They have the vaccine. So the treatment that you get, I guess I should have said this earlier. The treatment that you get is you get the injection of the human rabies immunoglobulin, mm-hmm. which is HRIG. The HRIG. Okay. get an injection of that, and then you get a series of vaccines for rabies. So you get one on day 0, one on day 3, one on day 7, and one between day 14 and day 28. And so they just have the vaccines. They don't have the other thing. And okay. it was like... And they hadn't got, they didn't have the vaccines on hand. They had like, we had gotten in contact with them, and they had like went to this near city, and we didn't ask them to get the vaccine. wow. I feel kind of guilty for it now.
Yeah.
But I came to the decision, thinking about it, I was like, you know what? It may be a small chance, but if I don't fly back to the States and then I get rabies and I die, because you die if you get rabies. One person has survived, apparently. According to someone we were talking to, like a doctor we were talking to.
What?
So
that's when it's left untreated for like a month or something?
Once
or?
You start showing symptoms, there's no hope.
Jeez. Okay. To my limited understanding of the medical field, you have to get vaccines prior to getting bit or getting a disease/infection.
Yeah, I don't know what
in, the... In almost... every case, so
I don't know what the full story is there, but it works.
But it works. Okay, that's all that matters.
And that's part of what the immunoglobulin is. It's like yep. it's like a bunch of antibodies and stuff, and it also I think works in case of infection too, of other stuff. Maybe it's because it's delayed before it starts doing anything. I don't know. Yeah, I don't maybe. Know. But in any case, that's what you need, and. Panama did not have it. We got in contact with like the best hospitals in the country that were, you know, across the country in Panama City.
Yeah.
They didn't have it. So, I had to go home, and I made that decision at like 3 p.m. in the day.
Yeah.
And I made that, and we had to drive. We were out buying wooden planks, or I was with Tim as he was buying wooden planks. And, yeah, we got back to the house, and I was like, I made the decision. I talked to my parents on the phone. We got flights decided, and I got Tim drove me to the bus station in town.
Mm-hmm.
I hopped onto a bus that was sitting there at about 5:45. 45 minutes later, that bus took off. So I was sitting in a still bus for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
and then the bus took off towards Santiago, which is the nearest city. And 2.5 hours later, I got there, but it was like getting dark, and I had some expensive stuff on me, obviously not like visible, but I had binoculars in my bag. I had, you know, passport. I had a couple $100 of cash, credit card.
Did you take your camera down there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's down there still right now.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was wanting to stay awake just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did fall asleep. I couldn't hold awake, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
It was fine. Got to the bus station, hopped out. It was actually a really easy transition. I got lucky.
That's good.
The bus to Panama City, which where I was flying out went from, was leaving immediately. And so I just got on that bus.
That's those buses at least.
Between Santiago and Panama City are really nice. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like,
I wouldn't
nicer guessed, than I would expect any good. Bus to be in the States, right?
Wow.
Yeah, very nice. I got to the bus station in Panama City at around 1:15, 1:30, something like that. And then I had to catch a taxi, right? And so I'm trying to sleep on that bus, and like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sleep deprived. At some point, they stopped and the police came on the bus and asked for my passport, which is relatively regular.
Yeah. So I'm guessing all of these interactions are in Spanish.
Oh, it made it so much more stressful because I don't speak very much Spanish.
That definitely causes issues whenever you're trying to do something urgent.
But the public transport stuff, you know, it's easy.
Okay.
And that's like good. it wasn't a worry. And then I got a taxi, and I just told him the name of the place. So I got to the hotel. I told him my name, gave him the reservation number.
Yeah.
We don't see your reservation, sir.
Oh, geez.
These people did speak English.
Yeah.
So that made it a lot easier. But they didn't see my reservation. Apparently, their system doesn't work. If you book it same day.
Okay.
Or something like that. And so, yeah. Then I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I guess I just go to the airport.
Sleep there.
My dad had already paid for the room.
Yeah.
So I went and I was talking and I showed her the email that we got reservation. But I mean, I was at the point where I was like, I don't want to be some pissy American.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
More than you already are, right?
Yeah. But my dad was like getting on the phone with people.
Mm.
Mind you, it's 2 a.m. in Panama and it's 3 a.m. here.
Mm-hmm.
So also huge thank you goes out to my parents for like they gave away their whole day and their sleep for so I could get back and get the vaccines.
Oh, but goodness.
Yeah, I got to Panama and got to that hotel, and then they made an exception and allowed me to book a room.
Oh, really?
They weren't supposed to. We did have to. I had to pay then, again, and then my base. Long story short, we're gonna get something refunded, but okay. it was a lot and
just under high stress, anyways.
Yeah, so, then I went and. I also hadn't eaten nearly enough that day because I was just like trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And I had like a small dinner and I hadn't eaten it. And I was starving and I was dehydrated. It was great. that happened. But I got a room and I'm really grateful to that lady for doing that for me because she didn't have to do that. She just, all she had to do was be like, sorry, get a taxi.
Jeez. Well, I'm glad you had something work out for you in that little span of time.
I mean, and the public transport went really, really fine. Smoothly.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
But
then that next morning, was all of your flight situations fine, or was there more hiccups?
Oh, get ready. it wasn't horrible. I woke up in the morning, I walked down, I got onto my shuttle, right? And it was packed full of people, and they kicked me off. Because I was one of the last people to walk on, but I wasn't the last. So they kicked me and another guy off, and then the other guy was allowed to go back on for some reason, and it didn't make sense, and it's like a once-hourly shuttle, and I didn't trust. They said 5 minutes, but I wasn't sure if it actually would be, and so I just hopped in a taxi and had to pay an extra little bit, but it's nothing.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, it's a little frustrating, but it's, you know what? I like, whatever. I got to the airport.
Goodness.
And this whole time, I'm thinking, like, in the back of my head, there's a thought. If I do have rabies, I have a limited time window to get this stuff.
Yeah. It was all revolving around the if.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
I mean, I wasn't horribly worried because it's such a small chance. But
so, I guess this might be a dumb question, but if you were bit by an animal, would it not... like have a physical visible
that's what I would think, but apparently bats, you can't see it sometimes.
Really? Well,
so
I guess it's good to be safe than dead. It's not just sorry, it's dead.
Yeah, if it was just like you'd be knocked out pretty sick for a couple weeks, I'd have been like, I'll deal with that if that's the case.
Yeah.
But knocked out pretty sick for the rest of your life. As in, you get a week.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like...
Yeah, it's understandable.
Yep.
It's definitely frustrating to run around all those obstacles.
It's just funny in retrospect.
Yeah. But it's barely even retrospect. It happened like 24 hours ago.
24 hours ago? What time is it? We may have just been getting into the... We hadn't gotten to the hospital yet.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
But you made it back.
Well, no. There's more. There's more.
Wait, there's more.
So I'm in line for this security, and they're just checking your passport to make sure it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at my passport, and they look at my boarding pass, and they're like, nope. And then they like pointed for me to stand to the side. They didn't speak any English. And I was like, what? Everyone else has the same ticket, like flight number, all this. I don't know what's wrong. Why are they pointing me to the side and saying I can't can't go.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they didn't speak any English. So I was like low key, like having a panic attack. I was getting so stressed. Mm. And then someone else got pulled aside, and they were bilingual and they were like, oh yeah, this is just a random intensive security screening.
Oh geez. What are the chances?
I know. I was like, this is just, she told me that and I just started laughing. Oh,
goodness gracious.
But you know,
I'm glad you passed.
I mean, they gave me like a full body pat down, had to check my bag, had to check my shoes. It wasn't that bad. It was fine. The only reason I was stressed really is because I didn't know what was happening. And then once I knew what was happening, I was like, ah, it's fine, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to make it on the flight. Although I was like standing in line to board and I was like, what is going to go wrong now? All in all, like retelling the story doesn't, like, not too much went horribly wrong, but it just felt like it.
It just seemed like everything was about to.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was funny, but like at that point, and then got on the plane, flew home, got in a car.
Got all the shots.
Well, got in the car in Atlanta, drove home.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the hospital, went to the ER, went to the children's ER, because I still go to a pediatrician. You can go to that and it'd be less people. So
I'm there till I'm like 21, so
yeah.
I still got some time.
Yeah, exactly. So there's less people going into a children's ER, in theory, on a Saturday night, because they're not getting blackout drunk and doing stupid things. So
I feel like children do get hurt pretty often, though.
Yeah, that's also a good point. But we got back to the room. And they were like, okay, this is the case. And then they were like, so we have to give you these shots. By the way, the Atrig shot is really unpleasant.
And I think he sent me a text that said, I just got six.
Yep, six shots. Once. So they had five that were the Atrig. And
five of them were one thing?
Yep, because it's such a large dose. And then one of them was one of them was a just the vaccine, the first dose of the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we're laying there after they told us that, and like each time I hear footsteps, I'm like, oh, wait, here it comes. Here it comes. And I'm like trying to mentally prepare myself, but I'm just like stressing and sweating.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bleep this out with some bird, right? Yeah. But like I was sitting there to my parents, and I was like half jokingly, half really, just like.
What can we bleep that with? Well, it need to be something chattery.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Maybe a marstrin or something.
Yeah. But they eventually they came back with the shots, and it was six shots that I had to take. And so I'm laying there, I'm blasting specifically Candy Paint by Post Malone, because I was I want
this,
some.
This from like 2018. What the heck?
It's a good song, okay, and it's hype. Yeah. And I was like, if I listen to a hype song, and then I was just like, was breathing slowly.
A lot of mental preparation went into this show.
Like when they walked out, just closed my eyes, music blasting, breathing slowly, and because it was the children's, they just sprayed me with like a cold spray so I wouldn't feel it penetrate my skin, and it would just be the stuff getting injected is what I would feel.
Right.
I was like, this probably symbolizes mental weakness. But I'm like, yeah, do that, please.
And, but I wasn't going to say it, but since you said it.
You asked. So I was like, yes, do that. And and it wasn't bad, actually.
Well, good.
It was like the shots just felt like normal shots.
Yeah.
I
think the worst pain I've ever felt in my life of anything was whenever I got my wisdom teeth removed.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week afterwards, I got an infection in my gum, and they had to put local anesthesia into my gum with a shot. And it felt like inflating a balloon in my tooth. And so sometimes, like, I couldn't actually necessarily feel a shot, but it was just, like, expanding. Yeah.
Anyways, yep. That's what horrific. I thought was going to suck, because the Atrig is apparently just a goo.
Mm. That's a crazy word. Just a goo.
Like thick. So I thought it would, but it wasn't horrible. Mm. I was like, okay. The funniest part is like I'm listening to this song, right? And so I'm in my state of like barely having had any sleep for the past 24, 36, whatever, however many hours it had been since I had slept properly. Mm-hmm. Because I got maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours in the hotel. And so...
Did you sleep on the plane?
I tried.
Tried.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's what, like a 4 or 5 hour flight?
Yeah, yeah.
5 hours in the plane?
Four hours. Okay. But yeah, I was pretty sleep deprived. And so I was sleep deprived. I thought I was going to pass out because I was very dehydrated and I wasn't allowed to drink anything and I hadn't had enough food. But I didn't pass out. But it wasn't really that bad. It was like actually pretty light. But I was listening to this song, laying down. My eyes are closed. I'm breathing slowly. And like there's a nurse on each side. So they're doing them and it was perfectly in sync too. It was wild. They were like wipe in sync, spray in sync, stop in sync, shot in sync. And
are you sure there were two nurses?
Yes. My parents were in there watching it happen.
It wasn't the rabies getting to you?
My parents were in there watching it happen, so they can attest.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were two nurses doing the shots at the same time. And like there was a couple seconds there where, like, you know the scene in Captain America where he gets, like, shot up and becomes Captain America?
Yeah. Is that what you felt like?
Like, I felt like that for a second. Gosh. Like, because, like, combining...
That's so dramatic.
not like the screaming, but just, like, the feeling of, like, oh, you know, like, getting enhanced, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is ridiculous, but
oh
I was sleep deprived and I had like that hype song playing in the background.
Oh
and
my gosh.
And then it stopped, like it was like just 2 seconds and I was like, that was a weird feeling. And
that was it?
And then, well, the whole shot procedure probably took a minute and a half, maybe two. But
six shots in a minute is ridiculous. That's a lot.
Well, they were just quick. They were, I was... sitting there, shirtless, pants pulled way up because they had to give me... Hey, look, you can see.
Yeah.
They had to give me shots on my... two shots each thigh. And
no butt shots?
No butt shots.
That's good. At least that.
Especially since the nurses were like probably within like 7 years of my age.
Okay. Yeah.
That would have made that extremely awkward. It was already awkward.
You were already vulnerable, but that would have crossed a line.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's probably students at UTC. You were in Atlanta at this point?
No, I was in Chat.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, it was probably just like nursing students from UTC working the night shift. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it was like wipe, 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 spray, 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 shot, and immediately on to the next spot. Wipe, 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 spray, 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 shot. So it was very quick. Like I was only halfway through the song. Like maybe 2/3 of the way through the song.
I'm glad they didn't give you a chance to process it.
I could process it a little bit, but the processing was, after the first one, I was like, oh wow, that really wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And then the next one, the left upper thigh burned. Mm-hmm. Very specific details you needed to know. So at that point I was like, I've already done more than half and it wasn't that bad. I can just do these last two. I think the last two combined were they had a little bit more dull pain because they were into the, like they're, I'm showing Patrick right now.
Just less muscle there, I guess.
Or no, it's more muscle
there's
there.
More muscle?
And it's like inserting a goo into your muscle and it has to expand, and, you know.
That makes my food want to come up, but that's all good.
So
you got, what, 4 on the legs, 2 on the shoulders?
Yep.
Nice.
So, but the thing is, with the rabies vaccine, like we said earlier, you need to get it in a series of shots over a few days, right? And it has to be those specific days, 0, 3, 7, somewhere between 14 and 28, right?
Does that mean you're here for 2 weeks?
So what that means is that I am here Today is June 9th. I'm supposed to start guiding my tour June 14th.
Yeah.
But day 7 is June 15th. And they might have the vaccine there, but the clinic is closed on June 15th because it's a Saturday.
Hmm.
And vaccines might not match up like how they're supposed to. We're not exactly sure. And I'm not taking a risk. I'd rather have people have a couple of not great days on the tour than me die of rabies.
Yeah.
So
selfish. Jeez.
I'll be fine. Yeah. Well, we're actually doing
something. Well, I mean, and did you, you were there a week?
Week and a half.
Week and a half. Were you able to scout?
Some, yeah.
Some? So, some. Like, you're not going to be missing out on some critical time.
In some,
I mean, in some ways, in obviously, some ways, yes. But, like,
yes, but
you won't be completely unprepared.
Yeah, exactly. And I already know the birds, and I know what elevation, right. What habitat, and I know where birds are reported from there.
Okay.
So, like, sure, there's some feel for places that I wish I was able to get that I'm not going to be able to get. But all in all, I think I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
This should be fun.
Which, I mean, I can.
So you will be able to like actually be there for the full?
Not quite the full. So
okay.
I was supposed to be in Panama right now. At flight booked that landed at 7:30 p.m. there, so 8:10. It's 8:10.
6:10.
Okay, yeah. So I was supposed to be in the air right now, going to Panama, but then we just decided no, we're not gonna risk it. I'm gonna get the shots, so I fly back on the 15th. I get the shot in the morning and then okay. Fly
so
out in the
tour
evening.
Tour starts on the 14th, and you get there.
15th. Of and course, so Tim's there to guide, and I've coordinated stuff to try to make it the best experience as possible for them for those days.
So, what is it, like an 8-day tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's not like we're missing out.
Yeah.
Super, super much.
You'll still get 6 full days with them.
Yeah.
Hopefully. 6.
Yeah. So.
That could be worse, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I'm here right now.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the first 30 minutes of the episode. But that,
yeah, it's a good story, right?
Yeah, that was kind of a wild scenario that we just found ourselves in. But
yeah, it was definitely, it wasn't something I expected to happen. Mm-hmm. I know someone who had to get the rabies series because they had a bat in their room at the same place.
Oh, really? Maybe you need to go through with some duct tape and cover up some holes or something.
No, it's because doors get left open during the day.
Maybe you need to bring a butterfly net or something.
Yeah,
go,
no,
go catch bats before you go to bed.
I know what to do now that to keep bats from getting in. I'm going to check every single night.
Well, now you have the freaking rabies vaccine, so you can keep the doors open all night. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, now I'm good for 6 months to 2 years.
Now it's just mosquito control.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Oh, I got bit by a lot of mosquitoes. I just hope none of them had
infections. Probably have malaria.
Well, I'm on meds against malaria.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You are all prepared now.
A dengue fever I could get.
Well, I don't think that's good.
Yeah, there's not really a vaccine against that I'm aware of.
Well, anyways, this is a wild episode so far, and we've been meaning to record. It's been probably like a month and a half.
It's been a minute,
like
since we've recorded together.
Since we've recorded together, and we have a lot to catch up on.
Okay,
and so. I think we can just make this like an extra long episode. So I'm glad you're all taken care of.
Yeah.
You got some more time to get some good sleep. Some overpriced eggs. You got a lot of time to do some more American things.
Socialize. Okay, I'm going to go on a little tangent here. But like, oh my God, is it lonely? Because there was one 60-year-old man who doesn't talk much who I was able to talk to.
Mm.
So
that's why people look at birds. It's because they're the only thing that talk back.
But yeah, so actually, it's been really nice to be back.
Oh, good.
And like, be able to talk to people and like actually socialize.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, well, that was nice.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was my Panama first 10 days. And now I'm back in the States to be back in 6 days. So, yep.
I think while we're here, we're going to try and catch up on some other birding stories that we've not had the time to do yet. So I think we're just going to hop right into the next one. But
all right. Yep. So this was back to birding with
Luke and Patrick. A crazy little tangent of an episode. But thanks for sticking around, folks, and we'll see y'all in a minute. All right. Hello and welcome, folks, to the Back to Birding podcast. This is Patrick Higgins.
With Luke Thompson.
All right. Yeah, so we just recorded a little funny episode about Luke and his adventures over the last 48 hours.
We had a whole month of birding that we haven't talked about.
So the month of May was genuinely some of the most memorable birding that I've had in years.
It wasn't for me. Well, there's one. But.
But I haven't been able to talk to Luke about any of it because, like, starting up a new job, I was traveling, and he was wrapping up school, preparing for Panama. We've been crazy busy. But we're here now. For some reason, we're back in this room right now.
In
was not
States?
Expecting to.
Yeah, this was not expected at all.
As many of you have probably gathered at this point. But I think to just off the bat, we have a really funny thing that happened at the very beginning of May, unless it was at the end of April. End of April. and so I'll give my perspective on that first, and then we'll let Luke do the same with his, if that's cool.
Yeah. But,
so I got the opportunity to go out to Utah for the first time. I've never been out west. And Luke's friends, Lizzie and John Diener, he introduced me to them probably about a year ago now, maybe a little less than. And since then, I've gotten kind of close with them, and they invited me out to do some field work with them out in Utah. So they were doing pinyon jay research with a doctoral student from the University of Georgia. And so I had a little two-week time span after my finals were done before my summer internship started. And so I just flew out there and spent 10 or 11 days out west with them. And that was like crazy exciting experience. I definitely want to dive into that more.
Yeah, for sure.
But I got there Friday. Like, here, I'll pull up the trip report. I think it was Friday the 26th. Let's see. The 26th of April, which was a Friday, and Lizzie and the doctoral student Hannah picked me up from the airport in Salt Lake City and drove me down to Price, Utah, which is where their study site was. It was their home base. It's where the Utah Department of Natural Resources is. Mm-hmm. And so we went 2 hours south to there and just had a plan to do some birding throughout the weekend. That's why I flew in on a Friday, so that we could have the weekend before actually doing some work. And we were leaving at like 7 the next morning to drive up back towards Salt Lake City. And so sunrise was around 6, and so I just wanted to kind of get up and bird around the DNR station that very first morning, just to see what I could find. I knew pretty much everything out there would be lifers. I mean, I've mentioned on here before that I've done a lot of birding in Texas, so like some of the birds weren't going to be, but I was super stoked to just see what I could run into. And so that first day, the 27th at 6:25 a.m., I went around the back of the DNR station, there was a little riparian area that I was just super stoked to hop into. And I heard this little chattery, loud bird, and I didn't actually recognize the call, because when I've seen this bird in the past, it was not vocalizing. So I didn't recognize the call, but I laid eyes on a absolutely stunning male vermilion flycatcher, just displaying like all around this little riparian area, only about 30 feet away. Got a couple photos, like just.
Such an incredible bird. Yeah, too.
I mean, I've only ever seen one before, and it was a female. So this was my first time actually seeing a male. Yeah, so it was already.
So this
super
is your
special.
First time really experiencing vermilion flycatcher.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it feels that way, especially because it was displaying and like really giving me its full effect. But I didn't really know the extent of the range, and so I put it into eBird. I was keeping a checklist, and it said rare, and so I sent a text to Lizzie and said, hey, I have a vermilion flycatcher in the backyard, basically. And she responds with, that's a first county record of vermilion flycatcher in Carbon County. So I was like, oh, okay. And so I made sure to get some better documenting shots. And yeah, it was literally my first full day, first morning there. And I have found a first county record and most of the Utah records, which it doesn't even hardly get up into Utah, but most of the vagrant Utah records are from the southwest corner down by Zion. So it's not a crazy hard bird. It's one that vagrates a lot, honestly. But not many males come up and not many males in spring. So it was a pretty cool experience. And I immediately gave Luke as much crap as I could. Because
and so did Lizzie.
Lizzie instigated it. She was like, you really got to give Luke the business right now because you just found a first county record on your first morning. And I was like, okay, I won't hold back. So
neither did Lizzie. So I was getting like a stream of trash talk from both of them.
Yeah. And so I was sitting on that high, riding that high for, about 24 hours.
And then can I transition to me telling my story?
Yes. Well, actually, I just want to say the end of it for mine, because it was like, I think Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I get a text or a call actually from Luke that I miss, and then I call him back, and he found the first county record vermilion flycatcher in Hamilton County, which is Chattanooga, that next morning. And so my thunder was stolen immediately. This is a much more birded county, so it's like...
And it's a much rarer bird for the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, in theory, the bird's better, but I'm definitely just going to act like mine was cooler because it was a male and all the things. But anyways, that was just unbelievable, and all of us at the station were just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I had the trophy for one day.
I couldn't let him have it.
He couldn't. Anyways, I want to hear the same thing from your perspective, or at least your part.
So, I got that, I was getting that trash talk, and I was like, oh, whatever, we all know I'm just far superior in all areas except for the mustache than Patrick.
Hey, it's coming in. It's actually coming in.
I haven't shaved at all.
You got kind of a goatee going on.
Oh, yeah. Is it a good look?
Yeah, maybe it'll be filled in by the end of the summer. Maybe so.
Tim Lins and I were going to do a big half day. I had a lot of stuff to do. So we had gone up to Craven's house that morning, and
because this is pretty much peak migration at this point.
It was really good. We got a scare because there's a Kentucky singing a very near perfect morning warbler song.
Oh, really?
Tim Weird. Called morning warbler, and I was like, I think that is, and then we rushed over to it. It was we had three black-throated blue warblers.
At Craven's?
At Craven's, which is crazy. Gosh. Black-throated blue warbler is one of my favorite warblers. They're beautiful.
Yeah, me too.
And they're hard to get in migration here, and really anywhere in Tennessee, they're hard to get in migration. Definitely. They're really easy where they breed out in the east of the state in the mountains. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had three singing male black-throated.
Oh, they were all males too. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And they're like,
I would kill to have that experience. I've only seen one in the county, and it was a female at Cravens.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're stunning. Like, this like deep blue.
Do you have that for Baylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine, but that's a. I assumed.
But yeah, I have that for Baylor. There's not much I don't have for Baylor.
Okay. All right. There's the cocky waste of oxygen coming out. There's not much I don't have.
There's like of expected birds. There really isn't.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. I'm just giving you
a hard time.
Giving you a hard time when I can.
I need it. I haven't had enough trash talk directed towards me in the past 2 weeks. I need some of it. Anyways, so we went to Cravens. We had a 20-some warbler species. It was good. It was a good morning.
Wow.
And then we...
I think my biggest warbler day was also this spring, and it was 17, I believe. Maybe just solo. I've probably had one or two bigger in a group, but...
Do I have your permission to just, like, be an awful person?
At Baylor, you...
No, it wasn't Baylor. It's my house.
At your house?
How old was I, 15? This was age 15, 8th grade, during the pandemic.
Fall?
No, spring. Spring is better to get a higher number.
Just because they're singing?
Well, it's just also more condensed, because you think cerulean warblers, your last cerulean warbler is going to be end of August.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whatever it's going to be. But, yeah, I had a 26th day.
26?
A couple of
There's
them...
There's only like 30 in the east.
Yeah, a couple of them were flight calls.
Oh my gosh. Does that checklist exist anywhere from 8th grade?
Yeah, it's like a 67 species list somewhere.
67 in your yard?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. Well, anyways. Holy crap, Luke. That's an insane number. Do you understand that that's like actually a ridiculous total for a suburban type yard? Yeah, you're on a ridgetop, but still, you're
I was gonna say I'm on a ridgetop and I have like second growth forest, and there's like a little stream running through the back of my yard, so I heard a northern water thrush.
Yeah, but you don't have like 20 acres to be going up and down
of it,
or anything.
Like barely of it, any of it was walking down. I think I had all of it seen or heard basically from my porch.
Oh my gosh.
Let's find this.
Yeah, list. I want to find it. Okay, so we got black-throated green, prairie, yellow-throated, yellow-rumped, pine, palm, black pole, chestnut-sided, yellow, blackburnian, northern, cerulean, Cape May, American Red Start, hooded, Nashville, Tennessee, black and white, blue-winged, golden-winged. Oh my gosh, you had a golden winged at your house. And worm eating.
I've had...
Holy cow.
It's really, it's just the fact, I think, that I'm on the ridgetop that really helps me out there. And the golden winged is the best bird on that list.
Yeah, that's insane.
That was a good list.
I've only seen one ever, and it was here at Cravens. I think I texted you freaking out about that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one since 22.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get one last fall.
Mm-mm.
I'll get one this fall because I think I'll be in Chattanooga and I'm going to be birding my tail off.
Dude, I don't know. I was also birding my tail off during fall migration and only had one. Well, geez, anyways. I don't even know what we were talking about anymore.
We were talking about my Tim and I's.
Oh, yeah.
But we...
So planning like a big day for the county, right?
We went... not for the county, just for Chattanooga area. We went into Marion. We birded Raccoon Mountain. We had a couple other good flocks. And we actually had another black-throated blue.
Mm.
Which four in a day is ridiculous in migration.
It's really crazy.
And Tim ordered takeout, a burger. And so... we were driving from Raccoon Mountain, and the place was near Baylor, and we were going to get the burger, then go to Baylor, and then pretty much call it a day. But turns out, we got a call from the place. I was, oh, it's going to be an extra 5 minutes. So, of course, I was thinking in my birder brain, I don't want to sit for 5 minutes in a parking lot. What's a detour that I can get a bird at? So Pineville Road would have been.
You were thinking Upland Sandpiper.
I was. Exactly.
I knew it. I as soon as I heard that you had that bird on Pineville, I told Lizzie and John, I said he was there for Upland Sandpiper. I knew it. I freaking knew it.
Yep. I was. Or sometimes you just get other shorebirds in that little puddle. Yeah. So.
Anyways.
Yeah, so there's this field on Pineville Road that has had Upland Sandpiper, which
it's
is a good
literally
bird.
Just like the backyard or front yard of some like industrial complex. Like it's it's nothing special at all.
There's a puddle in the field that has water all the time, and you get I've had five species of shorebirds at once in that puddle. I was like, we'll stop here, check for uppie, or and see if there's a couple shorebirds hanging out. And if we have time, there's a couple other places that had like Prothonotary warbler, potential for Swainson's warbler along the way. So we, you know, stopped, and Tim was like, oh, what's that sparrow on the fence line? So this fence line runs over the little puddle, right? It's chain link fence with barbed wire top to keep everyone away from the industrial.
Keep all the uppies out of the industrial complex.
Exactly. So Tim was like, what's that sparrow sitting there? And I was like, okay, let me grab this scope. It turned out to be a Savannah sparrow. But there was another bird that I thought was going to be, well, it was, we were pretty distant. So I scanned with my bins and I thought this like brown bird that was the right brown for rough wing swallow.
I can see that.
So I was like, okay, I got the scope and I was scanning along and I got this on the bird and I was just looking at it like, what am I looking at, right? Because, well, first off, it was like, oh, it's a flycatcher. So you got a couple options.
Yeah, at that point, I'm sure your brain just immediately went into bird mode. It's like, wait, hold on, what?
You're so
looking
like
looking at a flycatcher that doesn't look like
the
a Phoebe.
Immediate reaction would be Phoebe,
right?
Something brown with sitting on a wire,
white underparts.
Yeah, but the
very Phoebe shaped bird,
but anyways. The tail is a lot shorter, the proportions are different.
Okay,
which is what I noticed first off before anything. I was like, oh, that's wrong, those are the wrong proportions for a Phoebe, right? So I was like, what? And obviously, not a kingbird. So, like 5 or 10 seconds later. I was like, maybe it was probably only 2 seconds, but in my head it's like slowed out.
Like I remember having a weird yellow rump this past fall, and it took me like 3 seconds to see it because it was like, I don't know if it was like a hybrid Audubon's myrtle, but it was something was wrong with it. Clearly something was wrong with it, and it like I really thought I was discovering a new species because it was just like
it
took more than 1 second.
So weird to like look at a bird
and not know what it is.
And not know what it is.
Even for just a second.
Yeah, and then I was like, vermilion flycatcher. Holy vermilion flycatcher. Holy F bombs and lots of stuff was coming out of my mouth.
So did you call it right first? Like was that your first call out?
That was my first
Tim?
Call out.
Nice. That's always satisfying.
And he was like, what? And then we got the scope. We got pictures. Also, little tidbit of information. My phone broke at Craven's house.
What happened?
I dropped it and got a tiny crack, and then half the screen wouldn't work.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's why
I deserve to have a phone. You need, like, a flip phone from here
on out. I got a new case. That's waterproof.
Good.
It's gotten a crack through the case already.
It needs a helmet.
But yeah, so that's why I called Patrick, cause I wanted to get the word out.
Yeah.
Like, can you send it?
You were able to call me off of your phone though?
I was just using Siri, right? So I was just like calling people. I was telling Tim to text people and like get the word out, getting pictures, making sure the bird's still there. All the while I'm like freaking out because, oh my God, first county record. I have been birding in Hamilton County since I was six. Seriously birding probably I don't know, since 6th or 7th grade, right?
Yeah. Probably 6 or 7 years, probably.
Yeah. And, yeah.
That, but it hasn't happened yet.
And it hadn't happened before. Like,
you
have
found, what, 2 or 3 second county records?
I have some second county records, but never a first county record.
Yeah.
Oh, heartbreaking, though. The spot at Towhee, which we've talked about.
Oh, yes. Found on Baylor's campus.
On Baylor's campus. I may have found that bird. It was a first county record, but
yeah.
Anyways, my first Hamilton County first county record, and I had about 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
And that was satisfying. It was like, yeah.
Awesome story, but dude, it was the same freaking bird that I had the day before.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even gotten into that.
Yeah, oh my, it was just, I'm still salty a little bit.
Oh, it was so satisfying to call Patrick. Well, I was trying to get him to get the word out, but also just to tell him, hey. Yeah. Also telling Lizzie was so satisfying. I was like, yeah. Hey, remember that first county record?
Yeah.
Vermillion? That you had?
Yeah.
I have one in Hamilton County.
Yeah, the fact that it's another first county record, anyways, the next day is crazy. The fact that it was the same bird, same species, mm-hmm. is ridiculous.
The Stoles needed it for Tennessee.
Well, there's been quite a few in West Tennessee.
There's been,
five or six.
I think there's 20 state records.
Oh.
There's been 6 in recent years, maybe.
Regardless, really cool.
And so,
find for both parties. Well, there's mine.
Well, I'm just gonna hold this over his head eternally. I guess we have 10 minutes. So you want to talk about Utah?
Yeah, I guess I'll try and squeeze it in a little. But yeah, so I got to go up and down the entire eastern half of the state with Lizzie and John and one other field tech and then the doctoral student. So over that 10-day period, you can kind of see it here on the list. But we went all the way up into Idaho. I'll link the trip report in the description, but
168 is good.
Yeah, 168 species and 44 lifers. So that was pretty awesome. I haven't had numbers like that in a good minute. And had some really incredible opportunities for photos, and it was just a really wonderful time. And you can also see a collage of photos I put on my Facebook if you're interested. But
the biggest thing that that got me stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to tell me about your chicken stories.
Okay. My chicken stories, I can do it.
Which was the first chicken story?
So, the first chicken story was we went up into Idaho and slept in a yurt because we were planning on going to see a sharp-tailed grouse lekking the next morning right at the northern border of Utah. So we went and stayed at the southern border of Idaho that night, and I just wanted to hike around the sage. I was following this little chip note that honestly sounded like a hermit thrush to me, and that would have been a pretty good bird out there for at least that time of year. And so I was kind of navigating the sagebrush on top of this mountain, and I look directly to my left, not where I'm walking, but I look directly to my left, and about 8 or 10 feet away is a female dusky grouse.
Dusky grouse?
Yeah, just staring at me. And I am just...
Okay, wait. I thought we were talking about sharp-tailed.
We were. But I look over, and there's a female dusky grouse just like checking me out, just like doing the weird head thing, and just trying to figure out if I'm a predator or not. And I have my camera on me, so I sit down and I lay down right next to it, just try and stay as calm as I can. And I don't know, anytime you're that close to a bird, especially a lifer, it's like, oh my gosh, exhilarating.
Yeah.
And so I just took a crap ton of photos and took a bunch of video, and then sat with that bird for like 10 or 15 minutes. And
that's amazing.
I think we both just got bored of each other and just went on our way. But so that was unexpected, but my first chicken type species. So actually the first grouse I had ever seen. So
nice.
You know, it's probably overdue. I don't have rough grouse for the state or life, actually.
Neither
so.
Do I.
Really?
I do have rough grouse for life. I don't have it for the state.
Okay. We need to do that at some point.
Yep. Yeah. We do. Anyways.
But yeah, so that was the night before we went out to see the lek. And so that next morning we got up crazy early and wanted to get at the lek site before sunrise. So it was like a 30-minute drive, I think. So we were up and out of there pretty dang early and ended up driving up a separate mountain. And you get out of the car and it's just, you hear the drumming just... And then you see these big flights coming up. It's like, oh my gosh.
Sharp-tailed grouse?
Yeah.
That's like, so cool.
I mean, I don't know what our actual number was on the checklist, but we ended up having like at least 4 or 5 males displaying and then females kind of mixed in all around, which was just insane and absolutely gorgeous to watch. And the sounds of it, yeah, we ended up putting down 10.
That's exactly the sound we need to curse out, or.
Okay, yeah, we'll use sharp-tailed grouse display sound. But I mean, for those of you that don't know, this is one of the most highly sought after grouse species in North America, and it's primarily because of the way they display. They have this incredible drumming sound, and they throw their wings out completely horizontally and their tail completely vertically, and they have a bright orange brow supercilium, and then this massive purple gullet patch. I don't know what the actual terminology is.
It's an air sac.
It's something wild looking, and it's just an absolutely gorgeous bird. And the lighting was non-existent, so my photos kind of are buns, but I was able to watch it much better through a scope and through my binoculars and stuff. So that was very neat. So in like a little 12-hour time span, I had my first 2 grouse species, and one of which was really an incredible bird.
Yeah,
it's the only place in Utah that they're known to frequent, and it's definitely the southern extent of their range, much more Canadian, Alaskan type of.
Alaska, really?
Yeah, they get up into that area, but
yeah,
we'll just leave it there, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been another kind of short episode, I guess, with Back to Birding.
Yep.
We'll probably do a part 2 in the future, finishing off Patrick's chip. But we have run short of time. Yeah. We are about to
get kicked out of the studio.
Yep. So.
But yeah, thank you all for tuning in.
And we'll see you next time.